Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 11 a.m. till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is a Sunday. No, it's not. It's a Saturday. Anyway, this is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, bust it up with each other, go back and forth all crazy. Actually, Urban Therapy with Sun, Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 11 a.m. till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is a Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh and cry. We argue, fuss and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We play on the monkey bars and then on the swings and push each other up the sliding board, play on the merry-go-round and then the sandbox. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called life and try to figure out this, well, projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing that they call life. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the... And if you can't say Omar with the R, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. What's good, y'all? What's good, Stacey White? How you feeling? Glad you came through in the day and last night. Word. So we're talking about the burden of the family protector. We all have a cousin. Every one of us has a cousin. But some of us have a brother. A brother, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, somebody. Sometimes we might be that brother or that sister or that aunt or that uncle. Sometimes it's the mom or the dad. But the bottom line is, when you have a problem with somebody, somebody tries to put their hands on you, somebody is bigger than you, and you know how they say, pick on somebody your own size. Well, this person wasn't your own size. And they shouldn't have been trying to fight you or pick on you or bully you or hurt you, but they did. So what did you do? All right, I get my brother. You know how it goes. I'm going to go get my brother. They're not getting their brother and they're not getting their cousin to come and talk to you. There ain't going to be no talking. By the time somebody sick their big brother, they sister, or they aunt on you or they uncle on you, it's already too late for you. It's already too late for talking. There ain't going to be no more dialogue. There's not going to be no conversation. It's time for you to be dealt with and handled with care. Yeah, with care. We care to bust your lip, knock out your tooth, black your eye. Yeah, we about to dot your I's and cross your T's. Black your eye, dot your eye, and cross your T's. You understand what I'm talking about? But what about the person that we go get to handle our business when it's time for us to fight somebody that we can't beat? Or to make the odds in a situation a little bit even? What about that? You know, does this show that we care about our family protector if we're putting them in situations consistently and constantly? If we're constantly and consistently putting our family members in position where they have to fight for us, does it show that we care for them? Does it show that we give a shit? Does it show that we are there for them? And what about when they get in situations? Because unfortunately, in their willingness to beat up somebody, to sometimes kill somebody, to handle the situation, to take on these jobs, these personal vendetta jobs that we have for them, in order for them to do that, they have to be willing to go back to jail. They have to be willing to hide out from the cops. They have to be willing to take on the psychological burden of inflicting violence on somebody. And we let them do it. So where's our accountability? Where's our accountability? Do we even take it into consideration? Being dead serious, do we take the personal welfare and safety and freedom of our family protectors into consideration when we go and hire them or go and get them to help us out? To straighten out a situation again and again and again. Now, I'm not saying that we always go get them for every situation, but we definitely go get them for a lot of situations. Are we right for doing that? Are we right for doing that, or are we dead wrong? Are we dead wrong for not putting our cousins, our brothers, our aunts, our uncles, our sisters in better positions to be better in life? You know, do we even ask ourselves, are we right? Or do we ask ourselves, do we ever put ourselves in the position of the family protectors when we do that? Do we ever ask ourselves, like, yo, like, do you feel like fighting today? Did you have anything better to do with your time today? Are you afraid? Like, do you just step in and get busy for us? You know, are you concerned about what's going to happen to you if you do this again? Do we show that we care about our family members that stick up for us? Or do we just do what children do? We just go get them, hide behind them, and whatever. Now, a lot of times, these family members who protect everybody aren't available because, quite frankly, a lot of them be locked up, you know? So do we ask ourselves, do you feel like putting yourself in this position to be in jail again? Do we act like we care? That's what I'm asking. We know that they care about us because they're willing to put their freedom on the line. They're willing to put their physical health on the line. So we know they care about us. Are we showing in any way that we care about them? Are we showing it? Or are we just using them as hired muscle and maybe even sometimes as dumb muscle? Do we respect the intelligence of people who are willing to put their hands up for us? Do we respect them? Because I think a lot of times we don't. I think a lot of times we don't show enough respect to the people that we have out there fighting for us and taking up for us and being there for us, taking charges for us, taking the stand for us, catching cases for us, going to jail for us. I don't think that we do them correctly. I don't think that we do them correctly. And so I want to talk about that today. The burden of the family protector. Like, my family only calls me when they need somebody that needs to be beat up or they need somebody to be threatened. Because, yeah, sometimes when we get older, it's not even about what we'll do to them. It's about what they think that we'll do to them. Or should I say, it's not always about what we're going to do to them. It's about what they think that we're going to do to them. The intimidation game. The intimidation game is strong. And we do, some people use their cousins or use their family protectors unjustifiably. Like, it's not always a situation where you went and got your cousin or your brother or your sister or your auntie or your uncle or whoever is the family get busy person. Sometimes it's you who messed up everything. It's you who caused the problem. It's you who tried to put your hands on somebody or who was afraid to put their hands on somebody because they didn't get what they want or because you didn't get what you wanted. You know what I'm talking about? I definitely know what I'm talking about. I absolutely know what I'm talking about. And this is a situation. This is a situation that has to be dealt with because as we get older, see, when we're younger, it's not that bad because children are often scary, hesitant, you know, beings who will mind their P's and Q's and really just want to escape being bullied or hurt or threatened or whatever. They just want to get comfortable. Kids want to get comfortable with each other. So a lot of times the threat of being beat up or just one punch can end a whole situation. Somebody gets punched, they don't punch back. because somebody is bigger than them, or somebody is stronger than them, or somebody is more threatening than them. So it, a lot of times it doesn't go too far, but sometimes it does. When you go get your brother, I go get my brother, you go get your cousin, I go get my cousin. Now it starts to move up higher on the age ladder. All right, I'm going to go get my big brother. Oh, now I'm going to go get my big brother or my big cousin. Now I'm going to go get my uncle. Now I'm going to go get my uncle. I'm going to go get my aunt. Now it's a whole big family feud. And as crazy as it sounds, as silly as it sounds, I have seen it escalate to that level. I've seen it escalate to that level plenty of times, where now the whole family is feuding, one family against another family. Hopefully it doesn't get to the guns and all of that, but sometimes it does. It absolutely does get to the guns. A lot of times it does get to the point where this feud is out of control. This feud is in a bad situation. And when it comes down to it, if you go get somebody to beat somebody up or to shoot somebody or to stab somebody or to hurt somebody or to make an example of somebody, now it's all your fault. If that person doesn't matter, because your cousin might have been able to beat everybody up until this one person. They might not have been able to beat them, or this person might not afford them. They may not afford them. They might have decided, I think I'm going to shoot them. I think I'm going to stab them. I think I'm going to end this threat. And now that's your fault. You went and got somebody to mess somebody up. And now everything is messed up. Your cousin is hurt, seriously hurt. The family is looking at you. Or the cousin or the uncle or the whatever is dead. They dead, son. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, max and chill. Thanks for coming on through. Thanks for coming on out. I'm glad you came through. That's without a doubt worth. So that's what we're talking about today on. That's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. The burden of the family protector. So that cousin that you go get, that uncle that you go get, your father, that family member that used to be about that life, and now they done cleaned their lives up, but they are more than willing to come back and put their thug shoes on and their thug uniform on in order to make sure that nobody messes around with their family or disrespects. Are we doing them a disservice by going to go get them to go handle our business? They're not handling their business. They don't know nothing about what you're talking about. But somehow a treaty has been agreed upon between them and the rest of the family that if anybody in the family is in trouble, we can go get them. We can go get Skeet. We can go get Boo. We can go get Pooh. We can go get Junior. We can go get Rock. We can go get Skeet. You know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of times these cousins have a nickname that they go through, that they go by. Whatever. You know, they have a nickname that they go by, and people come through. Yeah, John Wood, man. Yeah, whatever that cousin's name is, they are who we go get when we get in trouble. And like I was saying earlier, it's cool when we kids and it's just a situation where it's just going to be with the hands. I'm a dot your I, I'm a cross your teeth. I'm a dot your I and cross your teeth. It's all good then, but when we get older and the stakes are higher, so it might have to come to the guns, the weapons, the chains and the bats and the brass knuckles, but the guns. Nowadays, a lot of people don't fight no more. Back in the days, we was knuckling up. Not that we didn't shoot back in the day. I don't know why people act like back in the 80s, it wasn't no shooting going on. In the crack era, more guns than you could shake a stick at. I know I remember. I don't know what people are acting. I don't know. I don't know why everybody's trying to play dumb. But see, when you call in a favor from your cousin that just came home, from your uncle that still has ties to the streets, you know, and you put them in a situation where they was relaxing or they was trying to get their life together. Because that's the whole point of it. Your cousin that just came home, he or she don't have their life together. They don't. They don't have their life together. They might be fighting addiction. They might be fighting depression. They might be fighting anger issues. They're psychological. What you think? They was born to just sit around and wait for somebody to call on them to come handle their business? Like, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Soon as somebody put their hands on my cousin or my little sister, yup, I'm about to go ahead. No, that's not what they was born for. But a lot of us don't think about that. And what are the rewards we give them for beating up our abusive boyfriends or sometimes dudes go get they girl cousins to beat up their girl. Like, yeah, well, you know, it's almost embarrassing to say it. But yeah, she cheated on me. She cheated on me with this boy. You know what I mean? I need you to go. Like, so you are a man. You're a man, so you're not going to put your hands on your girl, but you'll go get your sister or you'll go get your girl cousin to beat up your girl, your ex, that you know you're going to get back with. Yo, man, come on, man. Come on. Now, what do you really think about the person that comes and takes up for you? Because what are we rewarding them with? They're not hired guns. It ain't like, all right, man, let me call my cousin Man-Man to handle this little situation that I got with these niggas around the corner. Oh, they want to break in somebody's car? All right, Man-Man to handle that for me. What do you really think about Man-Man? What do you think about him? Because it shows that you don't think that Man-Man is good for nothing else except for knuckling, shooting, stabbing, hurting, fucking people up. And Man-Man might go to jail for that, not you. But what are you rewarding Man-Man with? If Man-Man was a hitman, he would get a fee, a straight agreed upon fee, contract killer style. What are you rewarding him with? A thank you, a I love you, I appreciate you, and maybe a invitation to a dinner. You going to pay Man-Man with a meal? Because you know Man-Man is going to do this job for you out of love. He ain't going to accept your money. Man-Man will feel disrespected if you gave him a couple of dollars. He ain't going to accept that money. Like, nah, cuz, you know, you and me and you, we more like brother or sister. We more like brother or sister than cousins. Nah, I don't need your money. You know what I'm saying? We good. How my auntie doing? She good? My auntie, I got to come back around there. I got to come around. I'm just trying to get myself together. I'm trying to get myself together, blah, 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 blah. So you showing love, and this cat got blood. His knuckles all scraped up from teeth that he had to knock out for you. You don't know if the person he just put his hands on is going to come back and slump him. It hasn't ever happened? It's happened plenty of times. John Wood says, facts, but over 30, you should have something to lose by now. should, but a lot of cats, you know, come on, man. You know how a lot of cats have spent most of their lives in jail, in and out. They either about to come back home or they just got put back in. You know, they got problems, man. And that's my question. What do we think of them personally? Do we think that they're not good enough for anything? Or do we call? Ain't it a little funny how we don't call the person that we call to beat up somebody to help build something? Like, do we call them when we putting a deck on the back? Are they good for that? Do we call them when we need 100-amp service put in and, you know, change the electricity? Are they good for that? Do we even call them for mechanical issues? You mean to tell me that they good enough to knock your ex-boyfriend teeth out, but they ain't good, but you don't call them if you got a flat tire? Like, what's good? What's good? What's good? Good looking out, Nars. Yeah. John Wood says, yes, sir. Man do it for love. Love of the fam. That's what I'm saying. So they doing it for love. They putting their freedom on the line. They putting their physical health on the line. I'm just going to keep it a buck. A lot of cats that go to jail, they ain't tough. Not everybody who go to jail is tough. And not everybody who spent time in jail comes home and is tough either. Some come back kind of soft. You know, things happen to a cat when they've been locked up for a long time. And they don't necessarily get raped or all of that, but it's not like, it's not. Listen, I know a lot of people that went to jail. A lot of people that went to jail came home, went back, whatever. And not all of them are tough. Not all of them are tough. I've heard some stories about some of them, and it sure wasn't beat up stories. But suckers think that just because a cat spent time in jail that they tough guys. Couldn't be farther from the truth, fam. Couldn't be farther from the truth. So the burden of the family protector. What do we think of the person that we go and get when we get in trouble? What do we think of them? I mean, be honest with yourself. Be honest about the thoughts that or the things that you've heard your other family members say about your cousin. You know that they've said things about him. Like, yeah, with such and such, it was a little bit slow. But one thing is for sure, they love their family. He could fight his ass off. He could barely spell his own name or read an ABC Dr. Seuss book. But that motherfucker could beat anybody. You know what, man? It gets real. I'm going to give y'all an example that you could really relate to. Or that I think that you should be able to relate to. Look at Mike Tyson. Real shit. Imagine, you know, those people who look at Mike Tyson now are a lot different than the people who look at Mike Tyson in the beginning of his career. People thought Mike Tyson was an idiot when he was 18, 19, 20, you know. Don't lie. Don't act like your whole life you was like, y'all, nah, Mike is smart. Mike is intelligent. I'm telling you, y'all think Mike is dumb, but I'm telling you, Mike, no, nobody thought Mike was smart. Nobody I knew ever said, yo, man, you know, I met Mike Tyson before, and he really got it going on. I don't know. No, I know plenty of people who met him before, and nobody that I know had anything nice to say about Mike Tyson's intelligence. His own trainers, his handlers, the people, the one who got him into prominence, Cus D'Amato. I saw interviews with Cus D'Amato. Maybe you saw interviews with Cus D'Amato before he passed. Now, we know that Mike Tyson loved Cus D'Amato. But when we saw Cus D'Amato, I don't know about y'all, but the way Cus D'Amato talked about Mike Tyson, he sort of gave me the feel that he was a little afraid of Mike Tyson. He was definitely alert to Mike Tyson's aggression and his ability to knock people out. He spoke about Mike Tyson with affection, but not with what I would call love. He didn't speak about Mike Tyson with what I would call love. You understand what I'm saying? So he talked about Mike like, I just sort of let him do his thing. And you know why he sort of just let him do his thing? Because he was knocking people out for money. And he was the champion of the world in boxing. Not only that, but Mike Tyson could get busy on the street. We knew this. But my point is, Cus D'Amato was profiting from Mike Tyson. So when you really think about it, he went and got Mike Tyson when he needed a boxer to get beat up. And Mike Tyson did it. And they made money, millions of dollars. Then what happened? Cus D'Amato died. Mike was out there by himself. And Don King came in to go get Mike Tyson to knock out everybody so he can make money. So although Mike Tyson probably had some real emotional and psychological problems when he was younger, you ain't going to tell me that nobody who dealt with Mike Tyson didn't know that the man was a thinker, that he was smart, that he was intelligent, that he never really had a chance. But I've never heard nobody speak about him like that. You see how his first wife and her mom tried to do him. They treated him like he was an idiot. They treated him like he was a dummy. They treated him like he didn't know no better for himself or anything else. You look at Mike Tyson today, people are like, yo, Mike is intelligent as hell. He ain't stupid. People used to mimic him all the time, you know, about his voice and the way that he pronounced words and all of that. They looked at him like he was an idiot. And I'm sure that at a young age in Brooklyn, when Mike Tyson was growing up, he was the cat that people would come and get. He was that cousin. He was that cousin, or he was that brother that people would go and get when they needed somebody to get beat up. And he just made himself into a millionaire, you know, a few times over, being the protector. So the burden of the family protector. How do we look at the people that we go and get to beat somebody up, to get us out of a jam? I mean, think about the Mike Tyson example. Cus D'Amato. He made Cus D'Amato a rich man in death. The white man handling the black man. And then the evil, opportunistic black man in Don King taking advantage of the uneducated, misguided, anger issues and emotional issues having as young black men. So the same thing, the same way as promoters and trainers used Mike Tyson in order to make them money, by thinking that he was marketable but stupid, are we doing the same thing with our family members that we go and get to beat up our exes or handle smart ass people who work at the store or vendors who cheat us, or you know, somebody who lies to us or tries to play us or disrespect us? What do we think of the family members that we go and get? What do we think about our cousin? What do we think about our uncle? We here trying to get comfortable in our lives. We here trying to get our shit together, get our lives together. Are we respectful of the fact that they might be trying to get their lives together too? Or are we totally disrespectful of that? John Wood says, yes, sir. Okay, my bad. I already read that. My brother Ansel Jones is in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? Good to see my brother and T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your side. What's going on? So we're talking about the burden of the family protector. The burden of the family protector. So we know that everybody has a family member. Every family member has that wayward cousin, that uncle, that aunt, the one that knows how to fight, the best fighter in the family, the one everybody goes and gets when they need somebody to be beat up or they need somebody to be intimidated, because everybody around the way knew him. Oh, shit, that's such and such cousin. Yeah, don't mess with her. Don't mess around with her. If you mess around with her, don't mess around on her, because she will go get her cousin. You know, you know who her cousin is, right? No, who her cousin? Oh, no, the boy Skeet. Oh, shit, Skeet? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he home now. Mm-hmm. He home now. So, you know, Skeet love his peeps. So, you remember the last time, you know, he broke that boy's jaw. Just because he felt his cousin or his sister felt a butt. A broken jaw for a butt feel. But you know he don't play. If she go get him, he going to go get you. So, but what do we think about him? And what is their burden? Like I said, they're not just sitting around waiting for another family member to get disrespected so they'll have something to do. We put these men or women in positions to be locked up. We not getting locked up. We in the background like, yeah, get them. Yeah, now. Or we might not afford them ourselves. But we'll jump in if they fight them. That's crazy. It's crazy, baby. John Wood said, Floyd Mayweather can't read or write. Great example with Mike. Actually, you know what? It's not fair, because Floyd Mayweather can read and can write. He can. He was reading. See, 50 Cent. 50 Cent got a way of making motherfuckers look horrible. Now, I saw that video. I saw that video of Floyd when he was at the radio station and he was reading his plug for the radio station. Floyd wasn't saying that he couldn't read. He wasn't saying that he couldn't read the script. He was asking them, how do y'all want me to read it? And I watched it over and over and over again. And I was like, you know what, man? This ain't right. Now, I'm not saying that he's a good reader. He was messing up on some of the words. But he was asking them, like an actor, basically, he wanted to know what type of voice inflection do y'all want me to have? Like, do y'all want me to be like, yo, you know, whenever I'm in Cleveland, I listen to W blah, 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 blah. Because he was asking, like, do you want me to read it like that? Or do you want me to be like, hey, this is Floyd Mayweather, and I love listening to such and such when I come in. He was asking that. It wasn't that Floyd couldn't read or write. It's that he didn't read or write very well. But he can read, and he can write. Now, R. Kelly can't read. He really can't read. But on every R. Kelly album, you got these list of lyrics. I don't understand it. People who have worked with R. Kelly said that he will recite the lyrics to you off the dome. Remember the lyrics off the dome. But for some reason, he can't read the lyrics or write. Like, I don't get it. Unfortunately, genius works in a certain type of way. I don't get it. I've never understood genius. But genius works in a certain type of way. But getting back to our cousin or our uncle or whatever, like I said, man, you know, that violent life, that you know, going back and forth to court, going back and forth to jail, that life gets old fast, y'all. It gets sad. It gets old fast. And many people try to move away from that life. They try to move away from that life and get into a better life, get into a better situation, get into a situation where they can finally get comfortable. And I think that sometimes we don't allow them to do that. We don't allow them to get comfortable because we got them out there doing jobs for us. Man, we got to do better than that, son. We do. We got to do better than that. And I don't think that we're doing better than that. But we need to. But yeah, with Mike Tyson, it's an undeniable example. Like, come on, man. You look at Mike Tyson today, everybody talk about how smart Mike Tyson is, how intelligent he is. You know, we saw his movies, how articulate he is. Ain't that about a bitch? We talk about how articulate Mike Tyson is. Now, like he really knows how to express himself, and he does. But what we say in that in 87, what we say in that in 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, well, at least 91. What year did he get locked up for the rape? 1990? Come on, man. 1990, 1991, I think he got convicted. And I think that if it wasn't for the fact that we knew that Mike Tyson was going to come home and make a lot of money for people, I don't even think people would have cared. They would have thrown him away like anybody else, but he just wouldn't go away. His status of the person that we could come and that we could go and get when our money went low, when our money got low, or when somebody, or when these other fighters weren't as marketable, because he was the most marketable fighter of his era. Especially as a heavyweight, you know, say whatever you want to say about how good Lennox Lewis was. There nobody want to see Lennox Lewis. I mean, think about it. They wanted to see Lennox Lewis when he fought Mike Tyson. Other than that, when Lennox Lewis fought Cat Week, he wasn't marketable. He just wasn't. In the beginning, we didn't even think he could fight that well. I tell you, that Emmanuel... What was his name? Emmanuel. What was the name of that trainer that could teach anybody how to fight better than they could fight? For some reason, I want to say Emmanuel Lewis, and that, you know, that's wrong. But you know, make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. And make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if y'all haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun 752. And we're talking about the burden of the protector. How does the protector, the one in the family that everybody in the family goes and gets when they have a problem with somebody disrespecting a family member? I will get my cousin on you. I'll get my brother on you. My aunt will handle that shit with you. And how is it that no matter, even if some cats jumped you, you go get this one cousin, this one cousin could even up the odds against these four or five people. Like, yeah, I got jumped by five dudes, but I went and got this one cousin, and now, what's up now, motherfuckers? What's up now? And how is it that it seemed to work that way? Who is he, like Bruce Lee? He fighting one of them at a time and the rest of them in the background, like, waiting for their chance to get the fight. They jumped you initially, but you wouldn't got your uncle or your cousin or your brother. And now they don't want to fight. They ain't with it. They ain't with it. Ansel Jones says, it's uncomfortable when they ask you for something important, but they've been blowing you off.
But they came and got you to fight somebody for them? And so, do you come from a family of military people? Do you come from a military background? I've been wanting to ask you that for a minute. Like, you know, like my brother-in-law's family, everybody went to the Army or some branch of the military, all of them, male and female, everybody in the Army. And none of them have let that mentality go. They all still in the Army. None of them are physically still in the Army, but they all still in the Army. It's that mentality. It's like, we ain't never coming home. And they all been home. Norris Hill said, editing is a double-edged sword. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Stacey White said, I would not put my loved one in that position unless I was really in a tight spot. Oh, and so, yeah, okay, all right. Everybody, okay, I got you, okay. Yeah, when you know that you have a person, that will ride for you, and they're not going to ask you a whole lot of questions, you know, a lot of times the people that we go get, all they want to know is who. I ain't ask you what they did. We'll talk about what they did later. Right now, we going to go get them. Right now, we going to go get them. I'm going to do this for you. Nephew, I got you. Worry not. Oh, yeah, I got fix this mic phone. Fix this here mic phone. All right, there we go. There we go. I had to do some doctor work on my mic. Had to do some doctor work on my mic. My mic sounds nice. Check one. My mic sounds nice. Check two. The burden of the family protector. You know, inflicting violence on somebody isn't always as simple as it seems or as easy as some people may make it seem just because they're usually willing to do it. You know, seeing the destruction of human flesh, I don't care whether you shot somebody, stabbed somebody, punched somebody in the face, or just bruised somebody up. It takes a toll on you mentally. Because seeing what kind of damage can be done to a person at your hands, seeing sometimes recognizing how dangerous you are can take a toll on you mentally. And people seem to handle it very well, but I've always wondered if that was actually the case. I've always wondered if maybe some people are just making something look better than what it really is, or making something look better than it really does. And I've also wondered if we even care. Do we care? Do we care that we're putting our people in harm's way? Do we? Do we care that once again we got ourselves into a situation that we could have easily avoided, but we didn't avoid it, and we're not the type that can handle the situation once it gets out of hand? Because by a show of hands, or y'all can write it in the comments, how many of y'all have a family member that talk a lot of shit but can't back none of it up? How many of y'all have one? How many of y'all have a family member that talk a lot of shit, be pumping their chest up, sticking their chest out, talking about what they'll do and who they know, but themselves, they couldn't beat their dick in a porno movie. But they be mouthing. And the reason that they be mouthing is because they have somebody that they can go and get to handle their problems for. Should somebody get out of line? Should somebody disrespect them? Should somebody treat them like a second-class fighter, which they are? We all have family members that will fight. They just might not be able to fight. Like, okay, they will scrap, but they just can't scrap, so they ain't going to win. But these are the type of family members that will cause problems. These are the type of family members that will always be quick to call their cousin, call their big brother, call their auntie, call whoever. So they always willing to put somebody to good use. But what are they doing for anybody besides getting somebody in trouble? The burden of the protector. The burden of the family protector, y'all. That's what we're talking about. The burden of the family protector. How well do you put your family protector, the person in your family that is willing to ride for you, how well, how much do you put them in good positions? Or do you know that since they ain't scared to go back to jail or they're willing to go back to jail, you put them in positions to do just that, go back to jail? For what? You ain't giving them no money. You know, family members have had other family members killed over this shit. Family members have had other family members killed over this shit. Like, my boyfriend is no more. Why? Because he cheated, he got high, and he put his hands on me one time too many. And my cousin didn't like it. I told my brother what happened. My brother don't give a shit what happened, but what happens between me and somebody else. It don't matter. It's always somebody else's fault if my brother finds out that I'm in trouble. It's always the other person's fault. And he is good at eliminating the problem all the way. He will get rid of the problem. The problem will not exist anymore. It will be a former problem. Now, some of us, who are aware of how serious of a situation that can be, have any of y'all ever said to yourself, no, don't go get this cousin. Go get the other cousin or go get his brother or something like that, because you know that one cousin that you have is extreme. Like, they not just going to go see about the problem. They going to handle this problem all the way. All the way. They going to see it through to the end. How many of y'all have a cousin that's too aggressive, too violent, too wild for you to go and get? Like, you ain't trying to catch a body out here. I just want such and such to stop disrespecting. That's all. But you know that cousin will potentially slump him. Like, no, I don't need nobody dead. I still love him. I still love him. I don't want him to. I just want him, you know. I just want to beat the problem up a little bit. A little bit, not like a lot. I don't want to kill the problem. Like, I got kids by him. My children's dad can't be getting killed over this shit. But I wouldn't mind him maybe, you know, having his nostrils bleeding or you know, maybe he already got a chipped tooth. He don't need that chipped tooth. He can miss one. He think he too cute anyway. That type shit. The burden of the protector.
By the way, if y'all would like to call in and talk about this situation, I invite y'all to call in. The number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. It is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak. And then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock a rock on it. Do the damn thing. Narcel says, one of my cousins was that one back in the day until real responsibilities took precedence. And so Joan says, adrenaline can't be controlled as much as you try. Well, self-control is something that we all have to work at, and it is something that is necessary for all of us to work at as much as possible and to achieve. We got to. We got to, son. We got to do that. But yeah, it's not always easy. It ain't always easy, but it's always necessary. Like I said, man, you know, you ain't trying to, you might not be trying to, you know, get nobody killed out here, but shit can get out of hand. And like I was saying earlier, your cousin might have been able to beat everybody up around the way that you knew, but you might be introducing your cousin or your brother or whoever to somebody brand new who can fight or has cousins or brothers or sisters, whatever the case may be. Now, you done started a fucking civil war. And for what? But that's the burden of the family protector, because nobody thinks about him or her and the trouble that they're putting themselves in. Nobody's thinking about that. Well, at least they're not giving it enough thought, in my opinion. They're not giving it nearly enough thought. And that ain't right. They carry the burden. They have to deal with their own feelings of anger, of violence, of compulsive behavior. They have to deal with that. But do the family members care about them? Has the most violent person in your family ever been the smartest person in your family? I'm not saying that it's not true, but what's the likelihood? What's the likelihood that the person who is the smartest, most gifted, talented person in your family is also the person that you will go get to beat somebody up at age 30? What are the chances? Because these family members who are the get-busy family members, they be in and out of group homes, sometimes foster homes, jail, prisons, all that type of shit. They have been in trouble, stayed in trouble their whole lives. Who has been taking care of them? Who has been working to help them better themselves? Who has been there to make sure that they had all of the resources that were available to them so they wouldn't have to be the one who was called on to beat up somebody every time? Because I've heard aunts and uncles quick to say how they not going to go get some such and such out of jail this time. That's it. Such and such don't want to listen. Such and such don't want to stop doing this. They don't want to stop selling drugs. They don't want to stop robbing people. They don't want to stop shooting people. They don't want to start. They don't want to stop doing what they're doing in them streets. They don't want to act like they got some sense. They don't want to stop being a hardhead. We quick to charge them with all of that. But what have we done to ensure that they don't become the family thug?
What have we done? What are we doing to make sure that they get the things in life that they need? The burden of the family protector. Stacey White says, my mother was a fighter of the family. And I used to tell her, Ma, it's going to be somebody stronger, better than you. My mother always defend herself, though. I'm glad you put that out there, Stacey, because, yeah, sometimes it is our moms and our dads. And at a certain age, you don't want to be going to go get your mom and your dad, your mom or your dad. Yeah, they might still have that juice in them. They still have that ready-to-ride mentality in them. Still about that life to a certain degree. But you don't want to be going to go get them. You know what I mean? They don't deserve that. Plus, they're a lot older than you. Even if your family, even if your mom or your dad had you when they were still teenagers, that's still somewhere between probably 15 to 19 years older than you. That's not your generation. That's not your set. That's not your peoples. That's not your peer group. No, 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 no. And quite honestly, I don't know about you, but I never wanted to see my parents fight anybody. Now, some people have seen their parents get out there and still mix it up. But I don't know. For me, I don't want to see that shit. Mainly because I don't want to see my parents ever get in a situation or be in a situation where they might not win or they might not come home or they might be seriously hurt. I don't want that for my mom and my dad. But think about this. If it's your mom or your dad, that's the one that everybody come and get when they need somebody, when they need a situation handled. If your mom or your dad adheres to that, if they are the type that submit to that, if they're the type that people call on to go handle a situation and they go and handle that situation, are they being negligent or are they thinking about their own family? Like if your mom or your dad goes out there and does family jobs, violent family jobs for your peoples, are they taking your future into consideration? Because they could get locked up. Now you don't have access to your mom or your dad. They could get killed. Now you don't have a mom or a dad. You don't want to do that. I know I wouldn't want to see that. Ansel Jones says, I had someone that went and got their brother that was a Marine, not knowing we grew up together and was in Iraq together. Small world. Wow. Wow. That's crazy as shit. Damn, Ansel. Really? Wow. See? You're right, though. Small world. You never know. You never know. The burden of the family protector. I chose this topic because I know a lot of people don't talk about this topic, and I know a lot of people don't think about it. They don't think about it. We only think about it from the standpoint of we brag about our cousins or our uncles or whoever. We brag about them like, yeah, you know, we used to always go get such and such and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, we talk about them with a lot of affection, but do we really care? And what are we doing to show that we really care? Do we do enough or have we done enough to help them turn their lives around and get their shit together? Have we given them a way to graduate from being the family protector, the family thug, the hired gun of the family? Have we done enough to get them out of their life to where they can become productive, progressive mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters? Have we done that for them? Are we doing that for them? You know, like how many of us have said, well, nah, I ain't going to go get my cuz, you know, even though I know that they would handle this situation. You know, he trying to do better with his life right now. I'll find another way to handle this. But shit, your cuz might be like, why you ain't come get me, cuz? Like, I thought I needed to handle this one myself, cuz. Shit. Well, you know I would have been there. I feel some kind of way about you not coming to get me. Because you might have fucked around and got hurt. You know how that go. You know how that go. But yeah, the burden of the family protector. Who protects the family protector? Who makes sure that no hands get put on the person that puts the hands on anybody who disrespects the family? Who makes sure that nobody puts their hands on the one that's willing to put their hands on anybody? Who? Who? How old do we get before we start putting them in positions where they even have to entertain that? How old? When does the time come when we say, nah, God has another plan in store for you. God got you. God got you, baby. The burden of the family protector. The burden of the family protector. We're about to get out of here in a second, y'all. Do these birthday shout-outs, get on the body. Cold out there today. Shout-out to the Eastern Seaboard. Shout-out to the entire East Coast. It's cold out there. Ansel Jones says, how old do you get when you stop asking people for money? That's a loaded question, though, Ansel. That's a loaded question. I'll tell you why it's loaded. It's loaded because although you may not borrow money, you may be asking for money that you deserve. You know, like, it might be a situation where, like, technically, when you go to work, you're asking for money. You're asking for compensation from your employer. You asking for that check every week or every other week. No, it says that depends on who. And the amount. That's true. I think that's very true. It ain't easy. You know, sometimes we all need a little money. Had a little help for my friends. Had a little help for my friends. Sometimes you need a little help. Now, I don't borrow money. Don't get me wrong. I don't borrow money. I really don't like to put myself in positions where I have to borrow money from anybody. Yeah, that's that. But that doesn't mean that I don't need money sometimes. It certainly doesn't mean that. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Shout out to Skeet, shout out to Black, shout out to Rock, shout out to Man Man, shout out to Ray Ray, shout out to Boo, shout out to Pooh, shout out to Pookie, shout out to all of the cousins out there who have been the the protector of the family. Shout out to Junior. My fault. I almost forgot about Junie. Don't forget about Junie. Shout out to T. Shout out to B. T, B, D. Shout out to Aunt Dee Dee. Shout out to Aunt Dee Dee. You know she was there for you. Aunt Dee Dee took care of all your girlfriends when they tried to disrespect. Okay, let's get out of here. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious. Martin Luther King Day, MLKA. Well, this is his actual birthday, but we recognize it and observe it on Monday. And they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and make them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Mr. Duckett, my man Keith Duckett. I ain't seen Mr. Duckett around in a while, man, but that's my dog. He used to always comment, security. Turning 63 years old. And also Sahira B. Simmons turning 36 years old today. And also Maria Reynolds turning 58 years old today. And Lachey Brown turning 36 years old today. And Mitch Bonzo turning 33 years old today, and Percy McIntyre, no relation, but what up, cuz, turning 37 years old today, and Madeline Ellaby, turning 42 years old today, and Dee Bell, turning 56 years old today, and Suzanne Lewis, turning 44 years old today, bow, 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 and also Betty Chapman, happy birthday to you. And Tommy Too Smooth, comedian Tommy Too Smooth, happy birthday to you, last but not least. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious January 15th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the dance. The dance. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. And do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. And do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen to what I say, because of this type of shit can happen every day. Yo, man, the burden of the family protector. Who is going to protect the ones who protect us? We family members that are always going to go get our cousins, our uncles, our family members who we know will get busy for us, who will stand up for us, who will take up for us, who will stand by us, who will take care of a situation for us. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to do right by them? Who's going to stop doing them a disservice by treating them like dumb muscle and like a hired gun all the time? They bigger than that. They better than that. We need to call those family members and say that we're sorry. Sorry for not standing up for ourselves. Sorry for not thinking about their own safety and welfare. Sorry for reducing them to nothing but somebody that can come handle our physical problems for us. Yeah. We will be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So make sure y'all come through. It's the Daily Go Get a Mizzen Show. By the way, it's official. We are back on the Daily Go Get a Mizzen Show is back on the air at 7 p.m. every night from now on. I'm sorry, weekdays. We are back on 7 o'clock. We are back. We're back to where I wanna be. You know that we need to be on 7. Oh. All right. Because when you love someone, you just don't treat them bad. Oh, how it feels so sad. Now that I wanna leave, she's get okay. All right, y'all. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. You think I don't when I do? Are you asking me who? All right, y'all. Blog Talk. We're going to get you on up out of here. And Rakim and say peace. Peace, R.